Simon!
No, what am I saying?
What, this? It's nothing. Really, it's nothing. It's just Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Have a good time. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
Okay, you little bastards. The time has come. The moment we've all been waiting for. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's go.
Let's get this bad boy rolling. Back for another podcast. It is the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. And thank you for making us a part of your day, your night, whatever.
Yeah, we do thank you for all that stuff. We got a website. It's called thevocalminority.net, whatever your websites are worth nowadays. We're also on social media because everyone is, and we want to be part of that fun.
Yeah, that's right. Check us out, thevocalminority.net. You can call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. That's our freaking phone number, dude.
By the way, real quick, new shirt. I don't ever remember seeing a Regal Beagle t-shirt before.
Yeah, dude, it is. Thank you for noticing, by the way. It is a new shirt. And obviously, you get the reference, right? There's a lot of people who don't get the reference. Yeah, I guess we're all. Yes. I had a business model that it was a ripoff, but like, why don't we open the frickin' Regal Beagle, dude? You don't think people our age would love to go down to the Beagle?
Yeah, I always thought it was fascinating that they had a bar apparently at the bottom level of their apartment building, and that's pretty cool. And as a kid, I don't think I knew what Regal or a Beagle was. So I always thought it was just some jibber jabber name they made up. Regal Beagle, Flibble Flabble.
Yeah, but it was a great place, and it could be a great place again, is my thought. So
yes, and Three's Company, the show we're talking about, would never get made nowadays, and I don't even understand how it got made back then. The premise of a guy can't live with two girls, so he pretends to be gay to trick the landlord. Like, that's housing discrimination. It's weird that it's okay if he's gay. It's weird that it wasn't okay for a guy to live with two girls. Like, the whole thing was weird.
You don't think that could get made today as a remake?
No. I mean, first of all, it's a ridiculous premise that some landlord has the power to say a man can't live with two unmarried women. That's ridiculous. And that the fact that he is pretending to be gay, I don't think any show you could pretend to be gay on and get away with that anymore.
Were Bosom Buddies gay, or were they just dressing up in drag? Or
well, I think it's original sort of transgender kind of show. Yeah, two men dressing up as women. And they never were gay. I don't know if they pretended to be gay. I mean, obviously, they were sneaking women into that place and everything else. And who would have thought that Tom Hanks would start on that freaking show and gone to be a huge celebrity, the biggest, and then his partner on that show, who's heard of him since then?
Yeah, no kidding. That's like Ryan Seacrest and Brian Dunkelman, dude. Right. Where's Brian Dunkelman? Bring back Dunkelman.
Yeah, exactly. So Google all these references, kids.
Yes. And one day we'll be sharing a beer at the Regal Beagle. That is my promise and guarantee. Welcome to the podcast. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today, Steven.
Okay. Busy day. And it's a fun one because I don't really know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
My raw reactions.
Do you feel odd, out of control?
No, I like it a lot. I can just sit here and react. Nick's done all the work today. I'm just sitting here.
Oh, good. Okay, well, just because people were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we've had some conversations on this podcast throughout the years, been doing the radio show for, 27 plus years. So I know your feeling, I know the vibe you have against or for award shows. Yeah. I'm wondering, so like the Grammys specifically is kind of what I'm talking about. Why don't you explain your theory on the Grammys?
Yeah, I don't like artistic competitions, whether it's the Grammys or the Oscars or even the Tonys, quite frankly. Like, art is subjective. It's complete garbage to say that one piece of art is better than the other. And it's kind of garbage to even be proud that I won an award for writing a song or something. You should not take that award on any level of seriousness.
Okay. Certain accounts, I agree with you. On the other side of that coin, I don't know. If I wrote a song and I won an award for it, I think that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I do understand what you're saying about like certain bands that don't get noticed and maybe, you know, like, hey, that's my favorite band. Why wouldn't they get noticed? Because you're right. It is subjective, but it would still be cool to win an award, I think, for a song, that I had written. But how do you feel about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Do you think that's any different?
First of all, back on the awards topic real quick, if you're getting an award for like Billboard charts, like some sales metric, some unbiased metric, then yeah, be proud of that. You spent so many weeks in number one or sold so many albums. But this whole, the whole industry voting for each other is such a backroom political thing that, yeah, take it with a gigantic grain of salt. And the Hall of Fame, I mean, that's a tough one because there are so many bands that don't get in one year and some other band that doesn't deserve to does. And should hip hop artists be getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, if I've heard of you at some point, you should probably be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, so you feel like a Hanson should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
That's a great example. No, I don't. I'll tell you, I have been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There is a one-hit wonder section of that thing, at least when I was there. So a Hanson, something, you know, yeah, sure. You had your time in the sun. Like, give them a little credit for that. Don't induct them for their entire career or something, but put them in the one-hit wonder Hall of Fame. Sure, sure.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has become very controversial, especially, I don't know, I want to say in like the last 10 or 15 years, because, yeah, there is this long list of growing artists, especially from, like, the 60s and 70s that have been getting snubbed for so long, who obviously deserve to be there. So, yeah, they've lost a little credibility, I feel like.
Some 70s artists will get skipped, but a 90s artist goes in. I almost feel like whatever the criteria is, if you had to be on the scene for 20 years or whatever, like, we should just be going chronologically. In other words, induct everyone from 1971 to 72, 73. Just go up through the years as each year moves forward on the calendar. And if he got snubbed, then you're done and you're over. We shouldn't be revisiting some decade and now all of a sudden your band's worthwhile.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I don't know how many years it's been now, but I think only a couple that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame introduced the fan vote. And that's quite frankly how some bands have gotten in. Like Dave Matthews Band, they were looked at because of the fan vote. So like the fan vote now can get certain artists looked at, and it didn't work the first year for the Dave Matthews Band. But last year, they were nominated. And if you look at a band like the Dave Matthews Band, you're right. That is completely subjective because I know a lot of people who hate that band and I know a lot of people who love that band. But if you look at pure numbers of how long they have stayed together as a band, how much money they have made in touring throughout the years, you know, you got to look at a band and respect a band like that, whether you like them or not, I suppose.
100%. And there is no rational way that the Dave Matthews Band can come up for consideration and they'd be like, nah, not there yet. Let's give it a few more years. Yeah. Like, that is garbage.
Because you're working on your craft.
Yes. I mean, album sales. And certainly Dave Matthews has been one of the top grossing touring acts for years and years and years and years. So, yeah, once he's up for consideration, obviously he's eligible. And to be like, yeah, let's give it a few more years. Let's make sure he ages right. Let's induct, you know, freaking Justin Bieber right away. But make sure Dave Matthews has
right.
To You
know. Yeah, yeah. No, that is funny. That's everyone's got opinion on these awards shows. So anyway, I thought we would go through some of the bands who were inducted for 2025, some of the folks who received special awards, and then we will go over a snub list from not only this year, but we'll look at people who have been snubbed for several years, okay?
Okay. By the way, it's a short list of artists in the last 25 years that deserve anything. So since the year 2000, I mean, Foo Fighters, I mean, Dave Matthews, sure. Who else? I don't know. I mean, Taylor Swift. But my point is we've had a bit of a drought of good rock bands in the last 20-something years.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. Okay, so the first one who is in... They haven't been inducted in the ceremonially yet, but they're here.
Yeah, I don't want to hear me. You just want to dance.
No.
You say no to OutKast?
Yes. First of all, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Can not hip hop or pop have its own little Hall of Fame? But OutKast, that the one song you just played is his biggest and as far as the masses go, only hit. And the freaking Hey Now song.
It's not true though. That's that's not true. I know you like to thank
you. Don't stay. Never heard of it.
You've never heard this song?
No.
Listen,
I'm
the reason
middle aged white guy rock and roll Hall of Fame sort of guy. And no, who the hell is OutKast, period? Let alone what the hell song was that?
That's called Roses. Sometimes roses really smell like poo, poo, poo. Listen, here's the reason why I will not argue with OutKast. Because aside from you knowing who they are, or, you know, knowing who they are on a larger level than Hey Now, they've got some very influential work throughout their career that they have molded and shaped people. So...
Please. I have this argument with my son a lot where we argue a lot about what artists will stand the test of time. And he'll play me crap like that where he's like, no, that second song from OutKast, that was a huge hit. I'm like, dude, I know way more about music than the average middle-aged white guy. A former musician, radio guy for years. If I haven't heard of it, it does not stand the test of time. It has to cross over enough where if a guy like me's never even heard of it, then boo earns. Every rock band on planet Earth better already be in the Hall of Fame before we have the OutKast conversation.
But you don't know anything about hip hop. I mean, you really self-admittedly didn't know who Kendrick Lamar was like 5 months ago.
Yeah, that's fair. But I know who Drake is, and I know who Eminem is, and Snoop Dogg, and Ice Cube, and Eazy-E. Like, I don't know nothing about hip-hop. But those iconic artists, not Drake, that I mentioned, they're big enough that even I, of course, know who they are. My mom knows who Eminem is. Come on.
But you know who OutKast is. You just don't like him.
From the Hey Now song. That's all I know, and that's a shitty little piece of crap pop song, and is not rock and roll at all. Why are we putting hip-hop artists in the Hall of Fame?
Listen, I'm not anti-hip-hop. I know, but this is not all about rock and roll. As far as I understand, it's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
But what else would you call it?
The Music Hall of Fame?
It should have been done a long time ago. They can't change it now, though. I mean, there's...
What did they do? Did they open that thing as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, then realize, like, we're running low on rock bands. We got to start just letting anyone who's ever been on the radio in this place.
Well, let's see if this next inductee is someone you agree with rolling into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And if I catch it coming back my way,
I'm going to serve it to you. Okay. I mean, Jack White, the White Stripes. I mean, my personal criteria for rock and roll royalty, that's a margin call right there. I mean, they've had a few big hits, and Jack White with the Raconteurs and stuff. I mean, he's done some good things. I think he's a good artist. Should he be in there? I mean, yeah, if we're running low on names.
Well, I mean, we're not running low on names. I mean, when you think about the people who haven't been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I mean... Yeah.
Your snub list is really going to piss me off.
Yeah, we'll see, because there are some on there that piss me off for sure. But yeah, you don't think it's crazy that Jack White's inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, way above OutKast. And by the way, I mean, the White Stripes have been immortalized on The Simpsons. That's another, like, you've crossed over a certain threshold. And maybe OutKast was too. I don't care. But, you know, Jack White, the White Stripes, sure. Sure.
Let's go with number three, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for 2025. Now, take away the fact that they're talking about sexual intercourse, and just as a band, do you feel like they're worthy?
Is this Bad Company?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they're worthy, and they should have been in there decades ago. Again, Bad Company, mainly in the 70s. So they and OutKast are getting nominated and inducted in the same year.
Yeah.
That is completely whacked. So freaking Bad Company, is that who it was? I'm forgetting already.
Yes. Yeah.
They've been snubbed year after year after year after year. And now just all of a sudden in the year 2025, now Bad Company seems to be sustainable and they're going to get inducted.
Can you name another Bad Company song?
Not at the top of my head, no.
Nor can I. I mean, doesn't that say something? I mean, I know they have other hits and stuff like that, but like...
Yeah, I'm not a huge Bad Company fan, but obviously if you pull up the list, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I know that, I know that. If you played their next four hits, I will know them as opposed to the Outkast song.
Okay. So yeah, Bad Company finally makes it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's see here. Next on our list...
The hell? Chubby Checker?
Yeah, Chubby Checker doing the twist. I mean, I'm surprised that he's just making it, to be honest with
you. This is what I'm saying. Where is the chronological logic to any of this crap? Chubby Checker, I mean, I thought that was the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Come on. So again, year after year, Chubby Checker's been passed over, and now all of a sudden, somehow, he's qualified. Is that from a lack of good competition against him this year, or somehow he's earned credibility all of a sudden this year? Click.
I don't think it is from a lack of choices. I think, first of all, I think Chubby Checker's being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because, yeah, I mean, he had some really influential music back in the 50s, obviously.
Yeah,
sold
he's an
a ton
icon.
Of albums. He's an icon. But I almost feel like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, sometimes when they've snubbed people, when someone is close to death or closer to death, yeah, they have this conversation where they're like, "Man, we probably better. I don't know if Chubby's going to last till next year. You know, like we better do it if we're going to do it."
That's hilarious. So should I plan on Outkast dying soon?
Maybe. That's I mean, I don't think that's for everybody, but I have definitely noticed, like, sometimes they overlook people for so long, and then they give it to them when they're, like, old and decrepit. So I almost feel like it's a sympathy vote, but Chubby Checker's obviously shouldn't be a sympathy vote.
No, he's an icon. He deserves to be in there. I mean, they're one of the founders of the rock and roll thing, so of course... This is such weird. I just want to point out, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland, Ohio. And this is what happens when people from Ohio start making decisions for all of us.
Do you think at any... I mean, do you think that they've opened it up to so many genres? Because in order to keep the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame relevant to all ages, you know, when we were young, I mean, it was either rock and roll or country. Right. Those were the kind of the two genres that we saw our friend groups in. But back in the 50s or 60s or 70s, I mean, it was all rock and roll. I mean, I know you had some Motown and stuff, but do you think they've opened it up because they're trying to remain relevant to younger people?
I guess. Is Outkast relevant to younger people or Chubby Checker? I don't know. And by the way, I saw a story on, I don't know, like the Today Show or some crap. Like, there is a Hip Hop Hall of Fame in New York City. Like, they have their own little Hall of Fame now. So these things should branch off. We should not be talking about Outkast and Bad Company in the same discussion.
Remember our first or second podcast, we interviewed some guy that gave us the history of hip hop. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And is Pearl Jam in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame? Probably not.
You're taking the name too seriously, I think.
It's the name.
Okay. Well, this brings us to our next 2025 inductee. Is this rock and roll to you? I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid. It's a long career, dude. Cyndi Lauper. I mean, Cyndi Lauper still performing and still touring today. So,
yeah. Yes, I do consider her to be rock and roll. I mean, in the 80s, she was a rock and roll kind of rebel. And I mean, I know it leans on the pop side of things, but she had a band. She had musicians playing with her. Sure. It was certainly popular on the rock stations and whatnot. So, yeah, Cyndi Lauper's fine. But again, how many years did we snub her before we were like, all right, let her in?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of artists to look over, from Chubby Checker to the White Stripes to Outkast.
It's ironic the song you picked for her, because I see your true colors, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You're full of shit and you don't know what you're talking about.
See, you're getting more and more angry at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as we continue here. And you're not alone. A lot of people are pissed off with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. this is going to shock you. This next inductee is an artist that should have, in my opinion, been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame years ago. Yeah. But I will also say, like, how come they only have, like, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. How come they only have 8 inductees a year? Like, why don't you have 20 inductees a year?
Well, that'd be a hell of a concert when they do the, inductee concert thing. That is a fun event, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, I guess if you did 50 every year, they'd be done in a few years, but 8 is a weird number.
Yeah, it's my favorite number, but this artist should have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, in my opinion, years ago.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
Joe Cocker's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's 2025.
Is that guy dead? Is that why they're putting him in now?
I don't think he's dead.
Hey Siri, is Joe Cocker alive? Well, I know his birthday now. Thanks, Siri. He was born in December or May 20th, 1944. I don't know if he's alive or not, but his career is essentially dead. So I suppose that's all that matters. Listen. I mean, Joe Cocker is a classic rocker, so I don't know why, but about time, I guess.
Oh, he died in 2014, dude. That's crazy. Why would they be inducting him now after he's dead? That doesn't even make sense to me.
It's a great question. Or if you're going to induct somebody posthumously, do it in 2015 if he died in 2014. I mean, again, has his career solidified in the last 11 years where now they're getting around to him?
They could have done an in memoriam, in 2015.
Right.
That's crazy. All right, this next inductee, and it's the last inductee. So that's the list so far for 2025, and there's only one more, Stephen.
Okay, I'm thoroughly unimpressed. The White Stripes is the best band on this list so far, so okay.
It's the band whose music you like the best, right? I mean...
No, it's just the best band, period. It's not. I'm stating facts here, okay? They're the best band on the list so far.
All right, last inductee for 2025 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Getting hard.
Are you getting a boner right now?
I'm getting a boner and a little sad. So Soundgarden got inducted finally, huh?
Yes. I mean, I started going through. I mean, I have Soundgarden on all my playlists, but like I started deep diving into Soundgarden today as I was doing this. I just rolled into, 1994, 95, rolling around with Bad Motor Finger. Yeah, cranked up like woof.
And is it Soundgarden or Chris Cornell solo or both?
Soundgarden.
Just Soundgarden. Okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, they clearly deserve. And again, I don't know why it would have taken so long. Pearl Jam got inducted a few years ago. I don't know about Nirvana or Alice in Chains, but yeah, Soundgarden deserves it. And now I have to amend my previous statement. Obviously, Soundgarden is the best band on that list, and that is not debatable.
I would agree with you. I mean, all the way around, the musicians of Soundgarden, from Chris Cornell to Matt Camp, all the musicians in the band are worthy of being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and should have been there years ago.
Yeah,
we should have seen them inducted while Chris was alive.
And you just brought up a good point. So that means Matt Cameron is in the Hall of Fame twice, for Pearl Jam and for Soundgarden. So that's a cool accolade. The dude deserves it. But yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what they're going to do for that concert, because all these bands get the chance to perform at the actual induction ceremony. So is some human going to attempt to fill Chris Cornell's shoes?
Ooh, that's a good question, dude. I don't know. I mean, maybe they would have Eddie Vedder step in and they do a Temple of the Dog thing, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's a sad one. I love Soundgarden and Chris Cornell so much, so that depresses me a little. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a good point you bring up, that Matt Cameron's now in there twice. Do you feel... Oh, well, I'll just use Dave Matthews Band as an example. Like, he was inducted last year, and there are a couple of people that have been in the band for just 2 years now, 3 years. Do they deserve it?
I mean, the short answer is yes. I mean, they're in the band. The band's being inducted. It's tough to say you didn't earn it. You know, we weren't in long enough or whatever. And I will tell you, though, when Pearl Jam played at the induction ceremony a year or two ago, whenever that was, they had all of their drummers play a song with them. Because they had Dave Crutzen, I think his name, Dave Abruzzese, Jack Irons, and then Matt Cameron. So all of their drummers got to get up on stage and play one of the songs they had recorded. And I thought that was super cool of them to do.
I think that's an awesome thing. I don't know the answer to it. That's why I asked you. But like, as far as Matt Cameron, I mean, Matt Cameron's my favorite drummer of all time. On top of Carter Buford, dude. So, I mean, he is really an amazing drummer to me. I don't think he deserves to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Pearl Jam, you know, because Pearl Jam is being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for their earlier work, in my opinion.
Yeah. Debatable, I guess. I mean, I don't know where you draw the line. I think Matt Cameron has technically been their drummer longer than anyone else, too. So there is that. And he is the current drummer, so there's that. And by the way, like the new sax player or somebody in some band that just got in, like, he knows. He knows he didn't really earn that, but his name should be on the list.
So. You're right. That's exactly right. And they know. They know deep down. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are your inductees. Now, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does make way and room for a couple of special awards.
Okay. I'm still mentally vomiting over the fact that Soundgarden and Outkast got inducted in the same year. That is wrong.
It would have been, you know what, looking back in prepping for this, I should have polled some of the former inductees so we could have seen, you know, some of the contrast in those lists too, because it's like that every year, you know.
I guess. Wow, how insulting, but okay.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does something called special awards. They've got three categories. One of them is a record exec that I won't even mention on this, but the other two, I deleted them off my page.
Corporate stooge.
Yeah, complete corporate stooge. So special awards. The first one is Musical Influence Awards. And this year they gave it to two different bands. And this contrast is unbelievable to me.
Hold on. What's the premise here? That they're influencing other artists?
Yes. Okay. They've laid down some sort of influence on all artists. You know, they're very influential in that way. All right.
Okay.
All right, so the first one listed.
Wait a minute, y'all. This dance ain't for everybody. Only the sexy people. All you fathers, get on out there.
Yes, dude.
Well, they taught me to push it real good, so I guess that's been influential. They've taught me that it's okay to talk about sex.
Yeah. I do think, you know, in an odd, funny way. I mean, gosh, this was all the rage in, I don't know, seventh grade or sixth grade for me. But I do think that they were influential in the way of for having girl rappers. You know, we didn't see a lot of them before Salt and Pepper. So I'll give them that.
Yeah. And I don't know that we've seen a lot since. But yeah, I mean, they were pioneers, I guess. So influential in that genre. Sure. Okay,
so they share that category with someone, and the contrast between the two of them couldn't be more different.
It's like salt and pepper, water and oil.
It really is.
Good and bad. Yes.
Do you know who this is? I pulled two clips of this song, but this is one of my favorite songs of all time, so I just was curious if you know this song.
Shadows are falling, and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave,
you know that song?
Doesn't mean I love you any less.
I don't know the song or the artist.
Oh, you don't? Yeah, you know the artist. I mean, you don't recognize him here, though. But you'll recognize him with this.
Where was London?
Warren Zevon? Is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah. No, what's the other Zevon song you were just playing there?
It's called Keep Me in Your Heart for a While, and it's a fantastic song. The story of Warren Zevon, he has a storied past, man, and one of the reasons that song is so emotional is because he got cancer and was dying, and he wrote that song and performed it on David Letterman, and it's just got kind of a history. Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, so, influential right now after all these years because he had a, I don't know, sad death or because of the Werewolf of London. There's not a lot of werewolf songs. So,
yeah, I think as a songwriter, he was a great songwriter, and I think he wrote songs for other people too. So influential as a songwriter.
Yeah, listen, I know a lot of artists that like the guy. I was never huge into him, clearly, but I mean, over Salt and Pepper, yeah. Salt and Pepper.
Yeah, thank you for saying it appropriately, dude. I appreciate that. Let's talk about a guy. Now we'll go down to their next Musical Excellence Award. That's what this is called. Musical Excellence Award.
Well, then induct him into the Hall of Fame if it's so much excellence.
Well, let me tell you that technically these people were more either part of studio bands or producers or songwriters for people. Mm-hmm. They weren't necessarily in the spotlight.
Got to have more cowbell.
You got to have more cowbell. Have you ever heard of a guy? His name is Tom Bell.
Nope. Can't say that I have.
I hadn't heard of him either, but I definitely knew who he was when I heard a song like this. All I know is la 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 la. I love you. He wrote for the Delphonics, but that's not all. Whenever you call me, I'll be there. Pioneering songwriter, producer, and arranger, best known as one of the architects of the Philadelphia soul sound in the 1970s. So,
again, I don't know how long this poor guy's been sitting on a shelf before they decide to recognize him in the year 2025. But okay, at least he's got some resume on his, you know, under his belt.
You ever heard of a man named Nicky Hopkins?
Nope.
You've definitely heard him tickle the ivory in some very famous songs. Let me see what
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. Please allow me to
introduce myself. Played with the Stones.
Yeah, played with the Stones. He tickled the ivory on this particular song, "Sympathy for the Devil." Nicky Hopkins is his name. Who's he? Oh, yeah, this is the other song that he played on. Played with Fab Five. Revolution in particular.
Isn't it the Fab Four? Were there five people in the Beatles?
No, with him, he's the five. He's the. I'm trying to give him a little credit here. Nicky
Don't count
Hopkins.
Yoko Ono. That's disgusting. Please. Okay, so I feel bad for a lot of piano keyboard players because they're like this. They get invited in, come play on a Rolling Stones track, come play on a Beatles track, and then get the hell out of here, and no one will recognize you until the year 2025.
Isn't that so sad, dude, that they could be at a mixer, right? And no one knows who the hell they are. And then they kind of whisper like, you know, I played with the Beatles. And they're like, yeah, sure you did.
Right, yes. Yeah. Well, again, impressive resume. So I'm glad someone got around to recognizing him.
All right, the last one on that list of Musical Excellence Awards is a girl named Carole Kay. You'll feel better about her. Carole Kay was a member of the Wrecking Crew. Do you know who the Wrecking Crew is?
Vaguely. Who is the Wrecking Crew? Why do I know that?
A legendary group of Los Angeles session musicians who played, you know, thousands, literally thousands of hit records from the 60s and 70s. Mm. From the Beach Boys to Simon and Garfunkel to, you know, Sinatra. They played for a bunch of different people. And yeah. Carole Kay played the bass for them and on songs like this. I'm picking up good vibrations. That's got a nice bass tone to it. Yeah.
The Beach Boys didn't have their own bass player?
Oh, when they went in to record their music, they worked with the Wrecking Crew, you know.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That is insulting as crap to whoever in that band played the bass, which I can't even tell you, but that's sad.
Yeah, Carole Kay, a member of the Wrecking Crew. There's a couple of rockumentaries done on the Wrecking Crew, and they should have been a band in their own right. I mean, they played so many hits that you fell in love with. They played so.
Yeah, but a lot of studio musicians are that because they are technically proficient but can't write a song. So true. I'm glad that they, you know, get their moment in the sun there. But yeah, if you're a band like the Beach Boys, you shouldn't need session people unless it's for something like a keyboard or a sitar or something that someone doesn't play in the band already.
Yeah, it would make sense. I mean, she, Carole Kaye, did a lot of stuff for the Phil Spector's Wall of Sound, worked with the Mamas and Papas, the Monkees, Sinatra, Nancy and Frank. So,
hey, a quick aside on the Beach Boys topic. I tried to message you on Facebook the other day about the Beach Boys, and somehow I posted it on my page. And Kennedy texted me like, hey, I liked your post. I'm like, I didn't post. I go on there. I'm like, fucking Uncle Jesse, Nick, look at this guy. He's killing it here. Like, I meant to message that to you, and I somehow posted it. Because do you know this, Joe? There's a few channels that do it, but when drummers sit in on a session and they've never heard the recording of a popular song and they just ad-lib to see what drum beats they can come up with.
Yeah, I think I saw Uncle Jesse. Didn't he do like a Five Finger Death Punch? Oh, Papa Roach. Okay.
Papa Roach, and he effing nailed it. Uncle Jesse rocked it. I mean, I was blown away at how well he did and how good of a drummer he is. I've always known, like my son asked me about it. He was like, isn't he a famous drummer? I said, no, he's famous and he's a drummer. I've never had a lot of respect for John Stamos being the Beach Boys drummer, but he, dude's got skills. He was really good on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's I love watching those things, man, where, you know, they've never heard the song and they hear it for 20 seconds or whatever. And they
and by the way, that's what good drummers can do. They can hear a song. They know the tempo. They know the fit, and they can hear it going up or down. They know when to fill. Like that's, it's cool to see how many pro drummers can step in. The fun part is, do they nail it just how the original guy did, just out of coincidence, or do they do a half tempo thing? Like, do they do something else cool? Because a few of those guys have changed it up, and you're like, ah, actually doing that verse in half tempo sounds really cool. So. Poor John Stamos didn't get abducted, but the session bass player for the Beach Boys.
Yeah, that's the truth. Okay, let's go to this year's snubs for 2025's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And there's a couple of big ones on there that I don't know if you'll agree with all of them, but they've been snubbed.
Do we know what the standard of snub is?
This says, despite nominations or strong fan support, the following artists were not included.
Okay. So they made it on the radar, but didn't actually get inducted. Okay.
Right. This one, love them or hate them, it's another band that definitely deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by this point. They are a leader in their genre and industry. She whispered words and I awoke. So Fish got looked at, but snubbed this year. I mean, I guess they still have time, and that's the way the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame looks at. They still got time.
It is. Fish is debatable because they have, I mean, Bouncing Around the Room there was a mild radio hit in the mid and late 90s or whatever, but they have never... They're not that kind of band. They don't put out radio singles, you know? They don't top the charts in any way, shape, or form. But they're a huge traveling band, selling millions of tickets, making millions of dollars, and are hugely respected as, you know, by musicians and all the fans, as one of the great jam bands of all time. So I get it, but boy, if you're factoring in album sales, per se, or whatever, radio airplay, then no, they should never get inducted.
Look at the Grateful Dead. I mean, I know that they had a few songs with radio play, but their overall catalog was huge and never made the radio.
Yeah.
And they're one of the greatest bands ever, you know?
I mean, Touch of Grey was a huge, huge hit in the 80s, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. And Trey Anastasio is, I mean, he's one of the great guitar players out there, so I would say they deserve it, but on whatever crazy standards they seem to have, maybe they don't. Apparently, Outkast has sold enough records to get him enough Fish. So,
yeah, you never know. This is funny. Okay, that's a good, you bring up a great point, because our next snubbed artist for 2025 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has probably more album sales than most of the people I've played from. There ain't nobody bad. Oh, baby, baby, we belong together. I can't sleep at night when you are on my mind.
Bobby Womack's on the radio. They deserve to be snubbed.
What do you mean? Who the hell is that? It's Mariah Carey, dude.
Oh, unless you're playing that Christmas song, I don't know that I would know. So, Mariah Carey in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
you got to get away from the rock and roll thing, because that's not how they look at it anymore. They don't look at it as just rock and roll. These are artists with, you know, big album sales, longevity.
Yeah, sure. I guess freaking Mariah Carey and Soundgarden should both be getting inducted this year. Yeah. Into the whatever Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Yeah. Mariah Carey got the snub this year. 2025 also brought the snub for two brothers who couldn't get along but made some great music while it lasted.
Milli Vanilli.
No. And all the roads we have to
walk are winding. Gallagher brothers. Huh?
Yeah, why do they keep snubbing Oasis, dude? I mean, Oasis made a lot of people pick up the acoustic guitar and try and play one great song over and over.
Well, they already inducted the Beatles, so why induct their poor imitation version of the Beatles, you know?
You feel that way? You're not an Oasis fan?
Now, listen, I like Oasis for what they are, but even those guys have admitted they're gigantic Beatles fans and their influence is all over their songwriting.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I mean, Oasis is cool. They had multiple big hits, sure. So, yeah, based on these standards I've been hearing today, they should be in there. They sold way more albums than the White Stripes. I mean, come on.
Yeah, for sure. Jack White. I mean, I know that Jack White sold some albums and the White Stripes sold some albums, but Jack White is kind of a niche thing. He's still got a ton of people in a smaller group that follow him. I know some people who love Jack White. Both of my brothers, Jack White just played in Nebraska. They were like, fly out, let's go see Jack White. I was like, I'm fucking flying to see Jack White.
Right. Yeah. Listen, Jack White is huge in Michigan. That's where they're from. Detroit worships the guy. So I'm surprised anything based out of Ohio was willing to give someone from Michigan some credit. But there you go. And Oasis, I mean, I don't know. One of these days, I assume they'll stumble their way in there drunkenly.
Let's move on to our next snub here for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2025. This was kind of a joint snub of Joy Division and New Order. And obviously, I mean, for 80s electronica music, they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I guess. Listen, I will stick with my contention that the 80s, when you look at 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, worst musical decade compared to all those other ones by far. And I'm just not a huge fan of the guitar and the keyboard influence of the 80s. So if you're going to recognize 80s sort of new wave stuff like that, then yeah, sure, they should be in. But rock and roll, I don't know. Most rockers were not a big fan of that phase in the 80s right there.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I mean, I think Bret Michaels, I think Eddie Van Halen would disagree with you. I mean,
do you? I don't think they would.
Yes.
I think they love the 80s, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but they were doing something completely different in the 80s. That's my point.
You're basing this all on your opinion. So yes. I would like to have a Steve Harness opinion, and then I would also like to have like a general thought of like, oh, this is how the collective world looked at them, so I guess I could see it or I don't see it.
A big part of the show is my opinion, as it is yours. I mean, otherwise I don't know what we're doing here. But not only am I just a snobby music guy, I am a former musician, I am a radio guy. Like, I think I have a broader interpretation of this stuff than the average Joe out there. So I don't think I'm just talking out of my ass. I have some level of credibility going on here. That's my
point. I don't disagree with that, but I'm not saying I'm not saying I don't want your opinion. I'm saying I want your opinion on music that you don't like.
Yeah, listen, I mean, has every other 80s new wave artist already been inducted? Then okay.
No, maybe, I don't know. Depeche Mode, maybe, I don't know. Okay, let's go over. We're almost through some snubs here. This one, I think this one might upset you.
Okay.
Snubs for 2025 Rock and Roll.
Barry Manilow has been snubbed again.
No, dude.
God damn it.
Yes, the hair is from a little boy. And the cross of someone's head,
what about the Black Crowes, dude? Do you think they deserve to be there?
I mean, if they were called the White Crows, they'd already be in there. Let's be real honest.
It's
right?
Such a racist society.
It is. It really is. So, the Black Crows. I mean, great 90s, essentially, band. First hit was a cover. A lot of people don't know that. Baby, I'm Hard to Handle or whatever
hard
the hell.
Hard to Handle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Listen, I mean, I dig the Black Crows. They're sort of on that Oasis level, though. Like, I don't know that they reinvented the wheel. So, you know, if we're letting Oasis to be on the list one day, Black Crowes certainly should be.
Also, brothers, dude, that couldn't get along, you know, and broke up the band because of it. So, yeah. Maybe that has something to do with it.
How long is their list, though, really? I mean, She Talks to Angels was huge. Hard to Handle was huge. Remedy, I remember, being a big one.
Yeah.
And then the list starts to taper off.
Yeah, it does start to taper off. Unless you're a Black Crowes fan. If you're just, you know, a fan of the hits that play on the radio, then yeah. I mean, they're still touring today. Those brothers are back together. And they've been doing some Led Zeppelin stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if they deserve Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But
just because they're the Black Crowes doesn't mean you have to call them brothers, okay? That's a little narrow-minded.
No, the Robinson brothers, dude. I'm talking about actual brothers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Okay, I'm going to give you... There's two more on this snub list, and this one... well, what do you think about it, Steve? Could have picked Rebel Yell, but Eyes Without a Face made the list.
This is the song title that always creeps me out the most. Eyes Without a Face. That's weird.
Do you remember the video, how creepy the video was?
I do. Listen, Billy Idol is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet. I mean, nope. Rebel Yell, White Wedding, and I mean, iconic 80s rock artist. And he was a rocker, even though some keyboards got mixed in because he probably had no choice. Well, yeah, Billy Idol's a rocker. Of course he should be in there.
Yeah, okay. You agree with Billy Idol being snubbed is a bad thing. So far on the list, do you think that's the biggest snub so far?
Yeah. I mean, Billy Idol's an icon, so the other ones are all debatable. But no, he should definitely be in there and will be someday. He better get in there ahead of freaking Oasis. Come on.
Okay, I would agree with that. I would agree. Billy
Thank
Idol.
God Outkast got in.
Yes, dude. It was time they got in. But the last one on the snub list, I have never heard of, dude. I've never heard of the band. And it is a crossover band in Mexico and America. And for some reason, they were snubbed. They are called...
It's not Los Lobos. I don't know who you're talking about.
It's not Los Lobos. It's called M-A-N-A. Is it Mana? Amor Fuga.
Me. I think it stands for MS-13.
No, that was Photoshopped, dude.
Mana.
So Mana got snubbed, and with all due, I don't know who you are.
The fact that they even were on the consideration list is the achievement of their career, and they will never get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, Menudo should get in before Mana does. Come on.
Or Selena, dude. Is Selena in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Nope, never heard of them. Sorry if that's racist or something, but no, I've never heard of them. So
no, I don't think it's racist. We just haven't heard of them. Listen, now we will go into some additional artists frequently mentioned in snub discussions and see if you agree with these. I don't have musical examples for these.
Okay.
Let's talk about a person you've fallen in love with just as of late, dude. Someone that you have actually gone to see. This is Phil Collins has been snubbed once again.
It was a Phil Collins tribute band, by the way.
And, that's better.
Yes, I waited through that whole boring concert to get in the air tonight so I could hear the freaking drum fill. And as the song starts, my dad's like, "Yeah, let's get out of here and beat this crowd." I'm like, "I got to hear the drum fill. Come on." And then as we're walking away, I made him pause. I'm like, "Here it comes, here it comes. Dun, 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 dun." And he was like, Was that it? Was that the, like, that's an iconic drum fill. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm surprised Phil Collins is not in there again. Somehow Outkast beats Phil Collins. Like, Phil Collins is an 80s icon. It had multiple hits, enough to fill an hour's worth of a tribute show, I can attest to.
Yeah. Does Outkast have a tribute band?
No.
You know, here, listen, dude, we were just talking about this, that Phil Collins has a huge catalog. I mean, of great songs and a lot of more radio played. So yeah, it's hard to believe he hasn't made it.
And a rare example of a drummer with, you know, multiple skill sets. It's very rare for a drummer to be the singer and then go on to be the singer of a band, you know, Phil Collins solo. Yeah. Dave Grohl is about the only other example I can think of that.
Yeah, I agree. I can't think of anyone else either. Here's another guy that is good with several instruments, but he usually just sticks with his bass and he sings along. His name is Sting, and he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The Police are not?
Sting is not.
Sting solo. I don't know how you draw the line on the solo thing. I mean, it's weird to get inducted for the Police, but then you're snubbed for your solo work, because debatably Sting has had more hits solo than the Police did collectively. But Police certainly deserve to be in there. But as far as a solo artist, I would think Sting would qualify by now.
When I think of the Police, you know, I obviously think of Stuart Copeland. Mm-hmm. I can't name anyone else in the Police. But I will say that the Police without Sting would not have been the Police.
Well, that's fair. I feel bad as a guitar player that I'm blanking on his name, because he's a phenomenal guitar player. He does chord arrangements that most dudes cannot even fathom. So the Police were phenomenally well-trained, proficient as musicians go, but they also, unlike a lot of proficient musicians, knew how to write good songs. But yeah, I mean, Sting went on to have a long career solo. So yeah, I'd say that's a worthwhile snub.
How about this one, dude? This is the third one on the list of people that have been snubbed several years in a row. The B-52s. And I know your initial reaction may find it to be ridiculous. I don't think so, though.
Andy Summers, the guitar player. Sorry. Should the B-52s be snubbed? I mean, the criteria is tough here. I mean, Love Shack, big iconic hit, you know. Rome, I guess, was their next one. Rock Lobster. I mean, for who they were and what they did, they are iconic. Should they be in there? I guess one of these days, yeah. But am I losing sleep over that? Nope. Do I think it's fucked up that Outkast beat them in there? Yes. Yes, I do. Why do you think they deserve to be in there?
First of all, they were very influential. They were doing something new that other bands weren't really doing. They came out of the punk scene, new wave scene, into this pop rock and roll scene. And yeah, I just think they have a huge following. And the songs that you mentioned are probably the three songs that most people can mention. But
because they're their only hits. Yeah.
They have a catalog that is deeper than that, that a lot of people know, that you and I don't.
So do I. I have a very deep catalog that most of you have never heard of. I don't know if that means I should get inducted anywhere.
I'm saying a lot of people have heard of the catalog. Just you and I have not.
I see. Listen, I mean, I dig them. I mean, is it a snub? Sure. I'm not losing sleep, though. I'll be okay. Right.
I don't want you to lose sleep, dude. Brian Adams is snubbed again.
The Canadian Bruce Springsteen. I don't know if that's this Canadian hatred that's going around America nowadays. So, but again, Brian Adams is iconic. He was a huge 80s artist. I mean, whether it's the summer of 69 or everything I do it for you. Like, he's got a long list. I'm more upset about that than I would be the B-52s.
Oh, what you like any other song that Brian Adams did besides Summer of 69?
Yeah. I mean, we used to play him on the 80s. God, what's the one? Fuck. See, I'm blanking on these things. I'm getting too old. Still the Night. Is that what it was? I mean, that was a good Brian Adams song, but he's got a few, you know. Adams is cool.
They're all crotchety, sad, pathetic love songs, really. You know.
Well, then Phil Collins should not be in there at all either. Then, so.
In the Air Tonight was about somebody drowning, so that was not about love. Okay, this next one's going to piss you and me and possibly your 15-year-old son off. Okay. Huey Lewis.
God damn it.
You're too loud. You're too damn loud. Sure. Made Back to the Future what it was, and he wanted a new drug. Huey Lewis should definitely be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
I agree. Iconic 80s artist. He had multiple hits. He is a rocker. There's a Broadway play right now based on his musical catalog. So if Broadway's adopting you, then yeah, he should probably be in the freaking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the poor man is basically deaf right now, by the way. He doesn't tour anymore. He's lost so much of his hearing that he can't perform anymore.
So you're saying that when he said into the megaphone, "You're too loud, you guys are going to have to go," he was not lying.
That was foreshadowing that I'm sure it is irony he does not need in his life. Because as somebody who spent a lot of years on stage next to a drummer, I've lost a lot of my hearing and it's no fun. But I could still play and perform technically. But yeah, when I hear about people like him say that I'm so freaking deaf, I can't perform anymore. Like, it really is sad.
What we'll do for our craft. Next one on the list is Tears for Fears. I like Tears for Fears, and I think they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Above Outkast.
So. Absolutely. This poor Outkast standard is just really irritating the crap out of me because, yeah, all these people above him, obviously. But, yeah, Tears for Fears. They're cool. Good 80s band. I would assume one of these days they'll get in there.
What do you think of Toto? Snubbed? A decent snub or a terrible snub?
It's a snub, you know. I mean, I've never been a huge Toto fan, but those guys are, again, very proficient musicians, and they had a good list of hits. So, yeah, that's a snub.
All right. Next one on my list, dude. I have really been wanting them to be a part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins.
I would agree. As long as Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and Nirvana are in, then we can move down the list of 90s iconic bands, and Pumpkins are certainly on that list.
Yeah, that's for sure. I will say right now that No Doubt got snubbed, and I'm okay with that because I found out Gwen Stefani is now a MAGA.
Ooh, so, she is?
Yeah, she's
because she's been banging a country guy. Yeah, jeez, yeah. Oh, peace. That's disappointing.
Yeah, it really is. So, yeah, there's your list. I don't know how you feel about it, dude, but, well, I guess I do know how you feel about it. You let me know the whole show.
Say, I don't think I've held back at all, so there you go. Do with that what you will.
All right, and that'll wrap it up. Look at the 2025 inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We are the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. See our socials, please, won't you?
Yeah, TikTok, YouTube, Reddit, those are good ones. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and Blue Sky. Blue for a reason. Liberals love it.
That's right. See our webpage, thevocalminority.net. Call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, my mini champions. It's your favorite old bag, Betty White. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Don't forget to watch The Golden Girls wherever great TV is watched.